Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell. Yes, again, we are here. It is Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. Not going to do an NFL show today. I promise you, we are going to do a lot of NFL shows in the weeks and months to come. So I'm sneaking in one more non-NFL show before we get there. And last week, I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. The airwaves of the fabulous Pelton cast were finally open to me after years of being denied an opportunity to appear on the show and keep up with my good friend and hopefully future colleague Sue Bird. Finally, I was granted an audience to talk about Vegas food on the fabulous Pelton cast, and joining me in the return fixture in this podcast discussion is our frequent contributor to the show, a regular contributor to ESPN, a friend of the show. It is ESPN's Kevin Pelton. Kevin, how are you?
Is it good friend of the show or just a friend of the show?
Let's stick with friend of the show.
Again, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, only one appearance on the fabulous Pelton cast so far from me. So
you can listen to the Pelton cast for the whole story on why there's only been one appearance on that podcast, and it is not on this end of the table. But Bill set the ground rule last week that I was only allowed to ask three football questions. I don't think I can apply the same rule about basketball on this appearance, sadly.
Well, I was thinking I would only ask you three football questions here on the show.
Okay.
Or maximum three That's football fair. Questions. But we are going to talk some NBA today. We have a interesting offseason has occurred. I don't know if you guys have noticed. Yeah. Some fun NBA stuff happening. And so last week after the Russell Westbrook trade occurred, I started thinking about having Kelvin on the show and sort of thinking about how we might sort of approach this topic, given that we were not going to be able to record until the following week, at which point presumably there would have been eight other major NBA trades and or the discussion of the Westbrook trade would have already occurred. So, naturally, I started thinking about what-if scenarios, and that led me to this podcast, which is going to be an analysis of two different Thunder scenarios based on the decisions they made over the past few years. We're going to start with, I think, the classic one. I think the one that if you're an NBA fan, you have thought about at least once over the course of the last 6 or 7 years, which is the sad reality that after making it to the finals, the Thunder decided that they did not want to max out James Harden and then traded him to the Rockets in a deal for two first-round picks, a second-round pick, Kevin Martin, and Jeremy Lamb, sending Harden, Cole Aldrich, Daquan Cook, and Lazar Hayward to the Houston Rockets in return. So obviously, that dramatically impacted the league in the years to come, dramatically impacted the Thunder, dramatically impacted the Rockets, and so our what-if scenario today here on the Bill Barnwell Show is, what if the Thunder did not trade James Harden and kept him around? What would have happened next? Kevin Pelton.
Well, only the, you know, pretty much everything about the last 7 years of NBA history would be different. So there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the Rockets themselves. Let's start with the Rockets from their perspective. This was a team that at that time was, if I'm not mistaken, and please interrupt me and correct me if I'm wrong, they were in a really sort of dramatic rebuild with the idea that they were going to try and trade for Dwight Howard. They had traded Kyle Lowry for a first-round pick. They had just signed Omer Asik and Jeremy Lin in that famous scenario where they were chasing the Knicks around Summer League, trying to administer a restricted free agent offer sheet. And then ended up trading for Harden shortly thereafter to sort of be the core of their roster. So in terms of the Rockets, number one, they were acquiring Jeremy Lin immediately after the sort of the Linsanity season when he had been such a dominant player for the Knicks. Did acquiring Harden sort of limit what Lin could have done in Houston? Would that have turned out differently if Harden hadn't been there?
It's kind of interesting. It's tough to say how much different because, you know, Lin wasn't able to sustain that Linsanity success in any of his future NBA stops, but mm-hmm. it definitely affected the way they used him. I mean, you know, you bring in James Harden, who particularly in Houston evolved into this ball dominant pick and roll, you know, eventually point guard. But right. even when he was playing shooting guard alongside Lin the first couple years in Houston, that he was there, you know, he still was the linchpin of the offense. He was the guy who was getting the most opportunities, which relegated Lin often to an off-ball role. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was reasonably effective there. He's an okay outside shooter, but it's not the strength of his game. So, yeah, I mean, Lin's whole story might be totally different if the Rockets don't make this trade for Harden, and he's the featured guy that season for them on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm. So you figure the Rockets still would have tried to target a star. I mean, Daryl Morey's strategy seemed to have been, you know, let's get as many assets as possible and then let's acquire a superstar when one becomes available. So if they didn't trade for James Harden, who do you think they might have targeted successfully when it came to a trade?
That's an interesting one. I mean, you know, I feel like they would have been kind of in a similar position to like Boston the last few years, yeah, where, you know, they've got all these draft picks and it's like every star who comes up for trade, everyone says, well, what about the Rockets? You know, I think that the timing of this, that was the following summer, but maybe they get in the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett bidding.
Oh, no.
I mean, those guys were older than their timetable would have been, but, you know, is it possible that they're in a bidding war with the Nets? I guess, I mean, Daryl Morey never would have agreed to the kind of deal that the Nets made for KG and Paul Pierce, but that's like the kind of trade they probably would have been looking into at that point.
I mean, that trade seems, it's insane, but it seems less insane after this offseason, no?
Somewhat so, yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that those guys are older is compared to the players who have been, you know, you've seen multiple first-round picks and pick swaps given up for. It's Anthony Davis, who's, you know, in his entering his prime years and or his peak years, and then Paul George, who's still near those. And obviously, like, the Clippers in a vacuum wouldn't have traded as much as they traded for Paul George if not for the fact that they also felt that that secured them Kawhi Leonard, and they were essentially getting both of those guys to, you know, contend for the next few years here.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to see more trades like that in the years to come? Like, are teams going to be more aggressive about handing out those sort of, you know, multiple first-round picks and pick swaps for... You know, you mentioned those two guys, but also the Rockets made a similar sort of trade to get out of Chris Paul's contract and then acquire Russell Westbrook, whose deal doesn't seem to have like a ton of excess value over what he's being paid over the next 4 years now.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me in that draft, in that trade, the draft picks were much more about getting off of Chris Paul's contract than they were about Westbrook's value. It's kind of an interesting debate if, you know, the Rockets had just wanted to trade Chris Paul for expiring contracts and get out of it entirely. How many first-round picks would they have had to give up? I think the answer is probably two. You know, maybe they could have found a taker for one who was kind of desperate. But, yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating trend. I wrote about this in a piece we did kind of talking about the buzz at Vegas Summer League. When the Kristaps Porzingis trade happened, it was the first time since Goran Dragic had been traded to Miami at the 2016 trade deadline. I think I've got the year right on that. That a team had given up multiple first-round picks in a trade without getting at least one back, multiple future first-round picks. And then all of a sudden, since that Porzingis trade, the floodgates have opened. And we've seen the Thunder made two of those trades within a one-week span. The Anthony Davis trade also qualifies. And then the Tobias Harris trade to Philadelphia at the trade deadline was also an example of that. So a ton of these trades are happening, and teams aren't holding on to their first-round picks and heavily protecting them the way they used to. I think part of it is probably that we're far enough, like Brooklyn's recovered now. Like it's okay. They had one of the best off seasons of anyone. But, you know, if one of these deals goes south and all of a sudden a team is left holding the bag in the same way that the Nets were, you know, after that KG Paul Pierce trade, then I think that example could lead teams to like start, you know, closely guarding their first round picks again.
Absolutely. All right, well, I'll be back with Kevin in a moment talking more about the what-if scenarios for the Thunder. But first, guys, hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, my last name, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L, because if you use ZipRecruiter at ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, they're going to send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That is 80%. If you're not good at math, 4 divided by 5 is 80%. That is a very, very good percentage. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now back to the show. So I mentioned Dwight Howard earlier, and the Rockets were, according to reports at the time, trying to trade for him. Of course, I don't know if they could have foreseen this, but next offseason they would sign him in free agency. Right. You would figure that they would not have been quite as appealing of an option without James Harden on the roster. So, I mean, do you think they still get Dwight Howard if they don't make that Harden trade? And if they don't get Dwight Howard that offseason, who was obviously a very, you know, highly desired free agent, where do you think Dwight Howard would have gone instead?
Well, you know who maybe gets him, who was desperately trying to get Dwight Howard that season, and here's part of the fun, like, the tentacles spreading out of this James Harden trade. The Golden State Warriors.
Oh, no.
Instead of Andre Iguodala, who they ended up trading for that offseason, or signing that offseason after trading to clear cap space, instead, perhaps they clear that cap space, even more of it, to sign Dwight Howard, and none of the last 5 years play out the same way that they did for the Warriors.
I can't imagine that actually working. That seems so strange.
I mean, I think it might have gone, you know, it's tough to say how much of Dwight's decline the last few years has just been physical after right. the back injury he had. And, you know, maybe in a different setting, you know, it goes a little better, but certainly, you know, the option to eventually play Draymond Green at center isn't there in the same way to the Warriors that it was in reality. And, you know, he's eating up a huge chunk of their cap throughout that entire period. They don't, mm-hmm. you know, presumably eventually have the cap space to sign Kevin Durant, setting aside what happens to Oklahoma City with not trading Harden. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it potentially changes everything for the Warriors and therefore everything for the NBA.
Yes. So the whole entire world changes based on this one James Harden deal not happening. I mean, the Rockets ended up trading the two first-round picks. The Thunder ended up being pretty useful. At least they got Steven Adams with the 12th pick in the 2013 draft. That was the Kyle Lowry trade selection. And then they had a first-rounder they got from the Lakers for Jordan Hill. That became Mitch McGarry, who then the Rockets, I think they picked like four picks later and picked Clint Capella. So you figure they would have probably picked Capella in that spot anyway, given that they would have had him four picks later. But from the Thunder's perspective, obviously they would have rather held on to James Harden, I think it's fair to say. But how do you think Harden develops over the next few seasons if he ends up staying in Oklahoma City and they do keep that big three together?
Yeah, I don't think it's into an MVP. I mean, you know, the opportunity to play with the ball as much as he has in Houston, to enjoy the same kind of floor spacing he has in Houston, those just aren't there available to him mm-hmm. if he's still in Oklahoma City. I mean, I think eventually they probably would have moved him into the starting lineup because he just would have been too good to keep in that six-man role. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's probably spending a lot more time, you know, spotting up, playing off the ball, and then getting to run the offense when Westbrook and Durant sit, since, you know, they typically rested together. I think one of the things that people forget about the Thunder after that Harden trade is they were better in the 2012-13 regular yeah. season than they had been in 2011-12 with Harden. Like, Kevin Martin was a really good fit there as a sixth man. They weren't eventually able to re-sign him, partially for the same financial reasons that led them to trade Harden. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe the thing that really changed the trajectory of their organization, as much as the Harden trade, was the fact that Westbrook got injured in the first round of that year's playoffs.
Yes.
Against Houston, right? It was Patrick Beverley.
Yes, it was.
And the Rockets. So, yeah, another situation that if the Rockets don't have James Harden, don't make the playoffs, then that injury presumably never happens. And the Thunder have a pretty good chance of winning the championship that year, or at least giving the Heat a really good run in the finals that season.
Well, that's the really interesting thing I was thinking about, in that even if we say Westbrook does get injured in the first round, let's say that, you know, someone on the Rockets or whoever is taking the Rockets' place ends up injuring Russell Westbrook, you still have Harden as that sort of ball dominant player taking over right. a much bigger part of the usage rate. That might almost have been his sort of coming out part. Not that he wasn't already a star, but just like, you know, that might have been the moment where we saw him in the role he ended up taking in Houston in that series with Westbrook sidelined. It's not out of the question. I think they beat the Grizzlies in the second round with James Harden taking, I believe it was 150 minutes from Derek Fisher, who ended up playing the majority of that series.
Oh boy.
That's an upgrade. I mean, I'm not a basketball wizard, but that seems like it would improve your team. And so I wonder if that would have been like his coming out party would have been, oh, well, now we see what James Harden can do if Russell Westbrook, you know, wasn't dominating the ball quite as much as he does.
Yeah. And who knows what the impact then is on Westbrook when he comes back. Do they, you know, consider trading him elsewhere for, mm-hmm. you know, someone who's more complimentary to Harden and Durant? It opens up all sorts of possibilities there.
Yeah, so in that playoff run, the Spurs swept the Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals. They were obviously a great team. And then we have that epic seven-game series with the Heat. We have that famous Ray Allen shot to send the game into overtime, ended up winning and the Heat ended up winning. You know, I mean, do you think the Thunder would have been better than do you think Thunder would have won the championship that year? Like, what were the chances of the Thunder if they advanced past the Grizzlies in the second round? Their chances of winning the finals, given the Spurs and Heat were waiting for them in the next two rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing people forget about that 2012 finals in hindsight, because of what happened to the two teams, is that, you know, I think the Thunder were, if they were not favored, were at least very close to favored in that series, and were a trendy pick because, you know, Miami had just barely survived Boston, had needed to come back from a 3-2 deficit, win game six on the road to get to the finals. Chris Bosh had been injured in that series and come back, so, mm-hmm. you know, that helped him. But then Oklahoma City also had home court advantage in the finals, nearly took a 2-0 lead mm-hmm. in that series, blew, I believe it was game two late in that, and then Miami went on to sweep all three games at home mm-hmm. to win the title. And everyone remembers game five where they hit like a million threes and won yes. by 30 points. But that series was actually quite close. And, you know, Oklahoma City would have been better, presumably, the next year. Their guys are getting, you know, more experience. They've been, you know, now had a second opportunity to get back to that level. I don't know if they would have been favored, but I think it would have been a really close series.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, they are, at very least, they have a reasonable shot of winning a championship. And it wouldn't be their only opportunity with that big three. I mean, do you think, given their financial situation, that they would have traded Ibaka and tried to sort of limit their tax issues that way?
I think that would be quite possible. Like, they might have looked to trade Ibaka for, you know, someone else who was still on a rookie contract, had a few more years of it, which is something they considered doing with Harden. I mean, that's the other what if is, it's not just that they traded Harden, it's also that they picked that particular package. I mean, one of the rumors back then was that they were talking to Washington about the pick that ended up getting used on Bradley Beal as a possible return. Or, you know, I think that Paul George from Indiana, who hadn't yet established himself as a star player, and, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't yet a contending team. I think that kind of package could have been available to the Thunder for Harden. So I think they would have probably tried to make a move like that with Ibaka.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. The whole world is changing here.
Can I give you my favorite what if outcome
yes,
of this? Well, so famously, when Sam Hinkie presented to ownership in Philadelphia for their GM job, he went through kind of the flowchart of all the deals they made to accumulate the draft picks and players that they ended up trading for James Harden. Mm-hmm. If they don't trade for James Harden, don't make that move that season, do the Sixers not hire Sam Hinkie?
Oh, no. What does Sam Hinkie do instead?
I mean, you know, eventually he surely gets an opportunity because Houston probably figures something out, but it's an entirely different team. And, you know, maybe the Sixers don't have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons right now. I mean, again, the tentacles can keep going throughout the entire league.
All right, so after that season, I mean, they made it the Western Conference Finals the following year, lost to the Spurs 4-2, narrowly missed the playoffs, I believe, the following season. I mean, you have to figure they are a perennial contender, assuming that we get the same sort of health, and not health, I suppose, we got from that big three year after year.
For sure, yeah. I mean, you know, it is interesting whether that changes kind of our perception of Kevin Durant at all. Like, on the one hand, who's probably advancing deeper into the playoffs, but mm-hmm. on the other hand, to your point about, you know, Harden's coming out party with Westbrook's injury, well, when that lingered into the following season, he had to have follow-up knee surgeries. That's what opened the door for Durant to win MVP that year, because mm-hmm. of the fact that he could really ramp up his usage rate and his scoring and do so efficiently. Maybe he never has that opportunity and never wins MVP if Harden is healthy.
Yeah, and we can get to a scenario where Russ doesn't win MVP down the line.
Oh,
we'll get to scenario two in a few minutes. But we'll get to the 2014-15, like I said, they missed the playoffs. The Rockets, you figure without Harden, don't win 56 games unless they have traded for another superstar somehow. Maybe they make the playoffs that year, and who knows what kind of run they could go on. But I think we get to the spring of 2016 is where I'm going to finish this one. You figure the Warriors, with a tougher Thunder team, probably don't go 73-9. I think maybe they lose a couple games off.
Well, especially
that
with Dwight at center.
are we assuming the Dwight at center scenario here?
I like it. Let's go.
Okay, we'll run with it. So Dwight is. Do you think we think of Dwight differently if he's the center on those teams?
Possibly a little bit differently. Like, I always think about that with Kevin Love. Like, everyone talks about how lucky it was that the Warriors didn't trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love when that rumor was coming up in the summer of 2014. And, you know, like, if Kevin Love had gotten to play in Steve Kerr's offense with Steph Curry, like, that's a pretty devastating pick-and-roll combo. They don't probably have Draymond Green playing four, you know, and small ball five. So I don't know if they're as successful, but I think Kevin Love has a much better career if that happens.
Do you think Dwight Howard would eat peanut butter and candy bar sandwiches in Golden State?
That's not a what if. That's just a known quantity.
Just a known quantity. That's right. Sounds great. Sounds delicious. I can't fault Dwight for that. So let's go to the final bit of the scenario here. So the Thunder in that 2015-16 season, the Warriors don't go 73-9. The Thunder have beaten the Spurs. They're up 3-1. In the series against the Warriors, who were dominant. And they lose game five. They're up 3-2 with an 83-75 lead heading into the fourth quarter at home of game six. You have to figure. I want to figure that James Harden is enough to push them over the edge and they end up making the NBA finals that year, no?
Yeah, I think probably so in that case.
So then you have the finals where you have the Harden, Russ, KD trio, which now maybe has a championship, but at least has maybe a half of a championship share over the last few years versus the LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love Cavaliers.
And I think the Thunder would have been favorites in that series. I mean, I'm pretty sure they would have had home court. You know, they would have just have taken down the 73-9 team, whereas, you know, the Cavs hadn't really played anyone near that caliber in the Eastern Conference playoffs, you know, and kind of cruised their way there. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're favorites. And we also get a KD-LeBron series where KD isn't playing for a team that, you know, had already beaten the Cavs in the finals, which is an interesting twist.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can piece together enough of a championship share there that you would project them to win, at least one championship over the course of that four-year stretch.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, even with the Harden trade, it's still probably somewhat surprising that they didn't win a single championship being that good for that long.
Right. I mean, it's an impressive team, and James Harden only would have made it, you would figure, that much better. Maybe they implode. Maybe that scenario where Harden impresses when Westbrook is out totally blows up the team, and we end up, you know, scattering to the winds for some other reason. But I like to think that things would have gone slightly differently. And we're going to get to a second scenario when it comes to a what-if for the Thunder, for James Harden, and for the rest of the NBA in a moment after the break here on the Bill Barnwell Show. All right, back here on the Bill Barnwell Show, I am Bill Barnwell at ESPN. I am joined by ESPN's Kevin Pelton, and we are agitating and annoying Thunder fans today on the show by coming up with possible what-if scenarios for how the Thunder might have won championships that they just hadn't gotten in their own way or run into one of the most dominant teams in NBA history in the process. So talk about the possibility of a James Harden non-trade, where James Harden would have stayed with the Thunder in the first scenario. So let's throw that all away, wash that all out. Let's move forward and assume that our reality lines up with this alternate reality until game six of that series where the Thunder led 3-1. And the Thunder have traded James Harden. He's gone. This is the actual Thunder of that season. Steven Adams is there. They have who else was there? Ibaka, Deion Waiters, Andre Robertson. The team that we saw that season is all on the court. And they actually do beat the Thunder in Game 6. So our scenario here in Game 6 is that Klay Thompson doesn't break out for 41 points. The Thunder don't go 3 of 23 from 3 in that game. And the Thunder end up clinching the series and advance to the NBA Finals, where they're going to play, even though it's just KD and Russell Westbrook. They don't have Serge Ibaka or Steven Adams are the third best player on that team, but it's them versus the LeBron Cavs that year. A team that, if I'm not mistaken, pulled out a epic victory over the Warriors in a seven-game series. But do you think the Thunder would have been as good of a matchup, a better matchup perhaps, versus a team that had, you know, limited minutes from Kevin Love and were really just LeBron and Kyrie at their core?
Yeah, it's interesting. So Cleveland would have had home court advantage in that series. They won two more games that season than Oklahoma City did. But, again, you know, as you noted, would not have been coming off nearly as an impressive playoff run as the Thunder taking down the 73-win juggernaut. Mm-hmm. And I think the interesting thing is, you know, that lineup that the Thunder used in that series against the Warriors, where they played Andre Robertson is a power forward effectively to counter the Warriors' death lineup. Took, I think, mostly Serge Ibaka, sometimes Steven Adams off the court and played with just one traditional big man. That would have been an interesting lineup to see against those Cavs teams, particularly with Love out of the lineup, because, you know, they were replacing him, and that was partially, again, due to the matchup with the Warriors, but they were replacing him with Richard Jefferson. And, you know, if that's, you know, Richard Jefferson and LeBron, you've got Durant to defend LeBron. You're not really worried about Richard Jefferson beasting your small lineup. So I think the Thunder continue playing that lineup frequently in the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's probably pretty successful. I don't know if I would say that, you know, they're clear favorites, but I would give them a pretty good chance to win that series.
So percentage wise, 55, 60, would you say?
You know, I mean, it's tough to say because we saw Cleveland get to such a high level in the last three games of that series, but it's unclear how much of that was kind of Steph Curry wearing down after the MCL injury. Obviously, mm-hmm. Draymond was suspended for game five. I mean, I'd say it's pretty close to 50-50 between those two teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's reasonable enough, but that's still a lot better than what the Thunder actually did in that, where they didn't make it to the playoffs at all, or didn't make it to the finals at all. And then they lost Kevin Durant that offseason. So do you think if they win a championship, do you think Kevin Durant stays in Oklahoma City?
So I don't think it's guaranteed. I mean, we've just seen now with Kawhi Leonard, which, you know, obviously very different. He played just the one season in Toronto and
right.
was traded there rather than, you know, choosing to extend his contract there as Durant did. It's possible to leave after a championship, and, you know, definitely Durant, the idea of playing for the Warriors, I'm sure it didn't just occur to him after they lost that series. But, you know, it would have even been weirder, you know, as much as everyone talks about, oh, teaming up with the team that just beat you, it would have been even weirder to jump to the team that you beat
yes.
in that scenario and be like, yeah, we're going to be better with me than
it's
the other team was with me. So, you know, maybe he signed a short-term contract. He was certainly interested in kind of lining himself up with the 10-year max, so maybe mm-hmm. he signs like a 2+1 to stay in Oklahoma City and reopens his free agency, you know, in that case in the summer of 2018.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say. I got a whole line of questions for you based on that 2+1 scenario. That's fantastic news. So let's start with the Warriors. They don't get Kevin Durant this offseason. What do they do instead? Do they keep Harrison Barnes? Do they make another trade? What do they do if they don't get Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I think they matched Dallas's offer to Harrison Barnes. I mean, he was a vital part of the death lineup at that point. They wouldn't have had, you know, they wouldn't have had a ton of cap space to replace him. And of course, the thing to remember is, you know, as perfectly as that lined up for the Warriors, because they were able to create the space for Durant in the summer where he was a free agent coming mm-hmm. off a 73-win season, you know, everyone else had cap space too. So besides the max free agents who couldn't possibly get any more money like Durant, everyone else was a terrible value. So, yes. you know, there's not like an easy scenario where they just go out and sign someone else for $20 million instead of matching for Harrison Barnes. So I think they probably, you know, they swallow hard, they match on Harrison Barnes and bring back a very similar team to the 2015-16 team the following season.
Mm-hmm. This totally throws the 2018-19 Sacramento Kings up in smoke.
Yes.
Who knows?
The tentacles are wide-ranging.
Who knows what happens with Buddy DeFuch in Sacramento? So I think that makes the most sense, right? I mean, I think that, you know, it would have seemed like an overpay at the time, but I think just given how successful that lineup had been, could you really have faulted them that much for seeing what Harrison Barnes might develop into?
Absolutely not, yeah. And, you know, then you make the case that, look, we're bringing back the same team, but we won 73 games. We only lost the finals because of this Draymond suspension, because Steph Curry wasn't 100%. Once those guys are, you know, take those things away, and we're going to be the favorites to win the championship again, even with the same group.
Mm-hmm. So the following year, Warriors end up going 67-15 and then 16-1 during the postseason. They win the NBA championship. The Thunder, on the other hand, a good year, 47-35. They were the sixth seed, and Russell Westbrook won NBA MVP in what was considered to be his revenge season. I mean, you figure, even given that KD got hurt for missed 20 games of the year, do you think he would have had the sort of usage to justify an MVP, a serious MVP consideration that season for Russell Westbrook?
Probably not. And I think certainly, you know, it wasn't a factor in my vote, but I'm sure there were some people who liked the narrative of the fact that it was Westbrook was the guy who stayed home, whereas yep. Durant left in free agency and went there. I mean, he's probably not averaging a triple-double. Sure. The other thing is, besides the usage that was taking Durant's rebounding out of the lineup was also a big factor in him being able to do that. So, yeah, I think it's very unlikely he wins MVP that year.
Mm-hmm. So then you look at the Thunder that year. So they, like I said, they were the sixth seed. They lost in the first round of the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. And then, realistically, KD, I don't think he played. Did he play one game in the first round that year?
Maybe one or two, yeah. He came back midway through the series against Portland.
Right, he missed a chunk of that series and came back in the second round. So I wonder if it would have been that much different. If they had a hurt KD, they might not beat, granted, the Rockets have Harden in this scenario, they might not beat the Rockets even with, even given that they had, you know, a healthy KD for really only one or two games of that series.
Yeah, I mean,
they lost 4-1. I mean, it was a few close games, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole team is so different. It's hard to think about because, you know, that as it turned out, the team was so reliant on Westbrook for everything they did. Mm-hmm. One of the other interesting things is, you know, presumably in the scenario, the Thunder have still traded for Victor Oladipo,
right.
Which given up Serge Ibaka, which would have kind of forced them to play that small lineup we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And I think would have been a better lineup for them long term.
Right. That makes total sense. And then from the playoffs sort of go in a different direction. The Spurs were 61-21. If the Warriors aren't quite as dominant, do you think the Spurs with Kawhi and Aldridge have a shot at beating the Clay, Steph, Draymond, Iguodala, Harrison, Barnes Warriors? Or kind of think it still goes the same way?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely Spurs staffers who believe that they would have won that series had Kawhi been healthy, even against a team with Durant, as much right. of a juggernaut as that year's Warriors team was. The other thing is, of course, there's no Zaza Pachulia to slide his foot under Kawhi Leonard as he's coming down on that jumper. So, yeah, I think if a healthy Kawhi Leonard, there's a very good chance the Spurs end up winning that series and, you know, going back to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Where they would have played the Cavs, who you'd figure, whether it was the Spurs or whether it was a less impressive Warriors team, would have had a better shot at repeating as champions than they actually did.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people believe that that year's Cavaliers was actually the best of the four teams, and it was just that they came up against this historically amazing Warriors team with KD that they lost the series.
Right.
I'm not sure I necessarily think they would. I don't have a strong take on the 17 Cavs versus the 16 Cavs, but, you know, that case certainly can be made, and if they were facing just kind of a normal finals opponent, again, they do have a good shot of repeating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, the following season, the Thunder make a couple trades. They acquire Carmelo Anthony. They trade for Paul George. With KD in the lineup, you figure they probably don't make either of those trades?
I mean, I'm sure they'd still try to make the Paul George trade. That, mm-hmm. that you know, obviously would have been amazing any time you could have done it. But, you know, I don't know if that would have... I don't know if it would have been the same degree of realism of that happening in this case.
Mm-hmm. So what happens instead? Where does Carmelo go? Where do you think Paul George might have gone if the Thunder hadn't made that trade?
Okay, well, let's say the Cavs have lost in the finals again. Mm-hmm. And maybe in this what if, you're all at a sub-what if. What if they retain Dave Griffin as general manager instead of letting him walk, mm-hmm. and he's able to execute a Kyrie for Paul George trade?
Hmm. Interesting. So the Celtics are not involved with Kyrie at all. The Celtics probably, you would figure, then would they have given Isaiah Thomas a big contract?
I mean, he still would have had the following injury-plagued year before we would have come up with mm-hmm. for it. I mean, he wouldn't have signed an extension. It would have been too small for him to sign that summer, so probably not. That one, I think, does not change.
Okay, so then where does Carmelo go? Doesn't matter. Not really.
Houston, maybe?
Oh, a year earlier. Finally, the Rockets. So then are the Rockets the best team in the NBA the following year if they're stuck with Melo?
Probably not, no.
So then we have a totally different Western Conference. Thank you, Carmelo Anthony. You totally screwed things up here. So the Rockets were the best team in the NBA that year, or certainly the Western Conference that year. The Warriors were a little bit of a mess during the regular season before turning things on during the playoffs. The Thunder lose to the Jazz in round one, even with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony in the lineup. With KD there instead and Victor Oladipo, do you think it's a drastically different playoff picture? I mean, are the Rockets, of course, they were up 3-2 when they lost Chris Paul, and that suddenly turned the series towards the Warriors. I mean, how does that playoff scenario shake out if you have KD in OKC and you have Paul George somewhere else, theoretically?
Well, the other thing you have is, you know, who knows what his health situation looks like, but Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio is the defending conference champions in the,
right.
the what if we've, you know, I think they're a much bigger factor in this playoff scenario. I mean, there, you can make the case for probably any of four or five teams coming out of the Western Conference at this mm-hmm. point.
I mean, you would figure KD, who was Finals MVP that year, would have played a big role wherever he was. And I mean, you would think that whoever came out of the West would have beat the Cavs that year. The Cavs were not an especially strong team coming out of the East, if I'm not mistaken.
But if they have, Paul George instead of,
that's
you know,
true.
At that point, they didn't have Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, since both of those guys got traded midseason. That changes their outlook entirely. I think the Cavs with Paul George and LeBron suddenly look formidable.
So then KD leaves, or is a free agent a year earlier?
Yeah, I mean, he was technically, I think, a free agent, but he's actually on the market a year earlier.
Yes.
And suddenly, you know, let's say that the Cavs do win that finals and LeBron doesn't leave immediately after the championship, that mm-hmm. he continues to postpone that. Does that push Kevin Durant to the Lakers?
Now we just upset Lakers fans. The show's almost over. You already pissed off multiple fan bases over the course of 40 minutes here. Does that make sense? I mean, you would figure that they would be in play for him. Would he want to go there?
I mean, he certainly seemed interested in playing in L.A. as well as New York. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough to say how that would have played out. I mean, teams would have lined up their cap space probably differently if they knew that they had a chance to get Durant in 2018. They would have been playing for that season more than they would have this season. And maybe, you know, I don't think the Nets become a realistic player for him because they're just not far along enough in their rebuild. But maybe he does end up going to the Knicks then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if they manage to have cap space that summer.
Yeah.
And it's KD and Kristaps.
KD and Kristaps in New York, or KD and Anthony Davis in L.A. And maybe we have LeBron going to, I don't know, somewhere else.
Houston to play with Chris Paul and Carmelo.
Oh, man, the banana boat reunites in Houston. What are the odds? Oh, this is so great. I could do this all day. All right, well, I'll be back with Kevin in a moment talking more about the what-if scenarios for the Thunder. But first, guys, are you tired of credit card bills with high interest rates? Are you ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money? Well, get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream with rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. There's no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, and no prepayment penalties. Plus, you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. You can't beat that. The online application is so easy. You can apply right from your phone. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And just for my listeners, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount. And the only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Barnwell. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Barnwell. My last name, BARNWELL. Offer is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Barnwell for more information. Now back to the show. I think it's a totally fascinating thing, and I think we think about it a lot with, you know, the NFL, you don't really have it because there's such little player movement, but I think it really is so dramatic that, you know, you just move, it's the butterfly effect. You move one little thing about an NBA offseason or an injury or one trade happening or not happening, and then suddenly, you know, years of what we've seen in the actual NBA play out totally differently, or would have played out totally differently given the roster construction that was available.
Yeah, it's the ripple effects of everything. You know, I think your old boss, Bill Simmons, did a great job of laying that out in the Book of Basketball. And obviously these scenarios continue to probably multiply now as players are on the move so frequently.
Do you enjoy this more, both as a fan and as an analyst, do you enjoy this period more than the period you saw in terms of player movement when you were growing up?
I mean, I don't know if I necessarily see it as totally different. Like, I do remember there were some off seasons that were really exciting in the 90s. The summer of 96 after the Sonics had just gone to the finals and, you know, the most exciting basketball highlight of my youth, like it seemed like every star in the league was a free agent that particular summer. And you had, you know, Dikembe Mutombo went to Atlanta, Allen Houston went to the Knicks, Shaq went to the Lakers, obviously was the biggest of those. I probably should have put that at the top.
Sure.
So it's not completely new, but I mean, it's, you know, there's this exciting period in the off season when you're sort of thinking about, hey, how are all these teams going to look, and you know, how are the pieces going to fit, and that kind of uncertainty is in some ways perhaps more exciting than even, you know, the experience of actually watching the teams play. It's more sort of like the you know, seeing the presents under the tree is sometimes more exciting than actually unwrapping them.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought you would say. I agree. I mean, just not as someone who has to analyze the NBA, but I mean, I think there's a really fascinating element to all of this. And I think it's, you know, it as someone who does not have to cover the league or watch the league on a night to night basis, where, you know, I don't have to, I'm watching, but not usually watching, like, you know, a dozen games, in the evening, but trying to watch games that are entertaining to me. I mean, I think for a casual fan, it really does sort of create this uncertainty that I think is really exciting and I absolutely wish could happen in the NFL, but will never actually happen.
I mean, you do risk devaluing the games themselves because of that. To me, there's kind of the comparison to it is college sports recruiting, where it feels like there's just this constant focus on what's next, what can my team do next, as opposed to what's going on at the moment. And, you know, maybe the Nick Saban quote about winning the championship costing him days of recruiting, whether apocryphal or not, kind of best summarizes that college sports mentality. But, you know, for now, it seems to be working out quite well for the NBA.
Well, Kevin Pelton, I have one more question for you. It is not NFL related. What was the best thing you ate in Las Vegas during your time there for NBA Summer League?
That's a tough competition. I would have to say ultimately it was the Bosom at Momofuku. Fortunately, that second visit was not derailed by an NBA trade occurring during the middle of dinner. It occurred, the Westbrook-Chris Paul trade happened a solid couple of hours beforehand, so I had time to file, write my trade grades, and then get over there for dinner, and it was quite delicious.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Pelton, I would say after you've completed this, you are a good friend of the show. You've earned that status.
Yes.
Not a very hallowed status, I would say. But if people want to follow you and read more of your stuff as a good friend of the show, where can I do that?
At @KPelton on Twitter, right for ESPN Plus. So that's, you know, there on the NBA and the ESPN homepages, if you're a subscriber. And of course, check out the fabulous Pelton cast to very occasionally he'll hear Bill, but more frequently hear my brother and I talking about Seattle sports.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks so much to my guest today, ESPN's Kevin Pelton, for running through some Thunder what-if scenarios for me, really indulging my NBA nerddom. So really enjoyed that. We have more football coming for you, though, in the weeks to come. We're going to get to the thick of the NFL's season preview. We have a couple of shows already in the can, more shows on the way, but NFL content coming for you in the weeks to come here on the Bill Barnwell Show. So thanks so much for listening.